The story of the prodigal son. I love it. You know the word prodigal means squander, to spend unwisely. When I was a child, I thought it meant the son that was lost and came back. But prodigal doesn't quite mean, it's not a nice way to describe. If it was a story about me and it was the prodigal daughter, I wouldn't feel so great about it, right? I remember as a child, we did a musical as all about the prodigal son, and there's a whole song and dance about killing the fatted calf. I will spare you from that tonight. But as I was reading this story, this is unlike some of the parables we have read the past couple of weeks. Some of these parables have been ones that we don't typically preach about. Where this parable is one that is quite familiar. I would say even outside of the church world, people have heard of this story. The lost son coming home. And what I want to do tonight is look at each and every individual in that story and kind of the why behind it and what that can mean for us today. We've got the younger son, the one who went to his father and essentially said, "I would rather you be dead, so please just give me my inheritance now." Is a rude thing to say in this time and age, but back in biblical times, that was next level. It was unkind, unloving, and unfair to the father. Then we have the son, the prodigal son, who goes and just squanders that money, spends it on inappropriate things, and ends up poorer than poor and not able to feed his own self, and realizes the slaves at my father's house eat better than me. Then we have the oldest. And I really, as the oldest daughter, wish the oldest in this story had a better attitude about things in life. But here's the oldest who comes in from afar wondering what's happening and gets angry about his father's love. So that's the simple, but it's about this story. And we're really going to dive in each individual, and I'm going to ask you the question, who are you? Like, I want to be the dad, right? The dad's loving, gracious, and kind. But if I'm actually honest with myself, I've been each and every character in this story throughout my life. Hopefully, I'll move towards the path of the Father continuously, but there's days that I am jealous, like the older brother. There's days that I am frivolous, like the younger brother. And this story is calling us, as we're lost, to turn around, repent, and be new again. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and the calming of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So what I did notice when I was beginning to read this, I like to do a little biblical exegesis, fancy word for reading more than just the one part of Scripture. So if you look at the beginning of chapter 15 in Luke, it starts with the parable of the lost sheep. We move then to the parable of the lost coin. And then the parable, and in some Bibles it'll say, the lost son. So here we have three parables in a row about things being lost. I am not a novice or natural or good at directions. Back in the day where you had a MAPSCO and you had to figure it out for yourself, it never worked out well for me. This must have been still MAPSCO's days, but we had cell phones. So I don't know where it was in. But I remember calling my friend saying, I'm going to be late to the movies. I don't know where I'm at, and I don't know how to get to this movie theater. And she said, are you driving towards or away from the sun? And I said, away. I'm driving away. And she named what direction that was. It was straight for me. I was going straight. And she said, Kim, turn around and go towards the sun. And it was just this joke for us forever. Like, she'd just be like, go towards the sun. Well, each one of these parables are talking about turning around and going towards the S-O-N, sun, in our lives. There are so many times where we are lost, but what's important about this parable is noticing that they are lost. Because I had another option, which is typically what I did as the oldest who knows everything and doesn't ever want to admit fault, kind of like the one in this story. I wouldn't have called my friend. I might have gone to a gas station and asked for directions, but I probably just would have just not gone to the movies, just kept driving around aimlessly for 30 more minutes, and then there would be no point in going to the movies, and then another hour trying to find my way home. Like trying to do it on my own. But in this story, we see what happens when you turn. We see what happens when the son realizes he had been lost, right? If we look at this story in the fullness, he wasn't making good choices. He was acting like a lost soul. But at one point, he finally realizes he is lost. He knows where he is, but his soul and his heart is lost. And he makes the SOS call to his dad, and he says, go towards the sun. So let's really look at this younger brother. Give me my inheritance. He is absolutely lost in rebellion. He wants what he wants when he wants it and is not even very kind about it. Then he goes away to a faraway country and he just squanders everything. Finds himself eating with the pigs. He hit rock bottom. But in that moment, he came to his senses, and what did he do? He turned around. He turned back. And one of the best images that I can see in this story and I can feel in my soul is when he is walking towards the house and the father runs. If you read some of the ancient texts about, it says he girds his loins, which is usually getting ready for battle, but it's pulling up his robe so that he can get speed to go towards his son. And the father. The father in this story shows love, shows mercy, shows compassion, shows that he is so excited for the return of his son that was once lost. We're going to get to the dad in a second. I want to spend some time with this older brother. Because I don't think we spend enough time paying attention to him, paying attention to how he behaves. I kind of said that he was lost in the task. He was so obedient to his father But the way I read it, and in fact, he says to his dad, I have slaved for you all these years. You don't even give me a goat. I have been here all these years. But the point that I would like to say to this older brother is, yeah, you have been in your father's house with your father's love for all these years. You see, he was also lost. Even though he was sitting at home, surrounded by the love and the protection of his father, he was there out of obedience. He was there focusing on the task that he had to do and not the love that came with it. I sadly identify way too strongly with this man. I'm a task-driven person, which is why some of these parables lately have been shaking my world, because they don't always add up in math-wise, but they do in faith. How many times have you been lost in the task and you don't see what's around you? Even the task of faith. Let's task list our faith. There's different ways you can come about it. You can desire to get up in the morning and maybe read some scripture, or maybe say some prayers out of a place of love and hope and connection. Or you can open up your to-do list and it says morning devotion. So you get your cup of coffee, and you get your Bible, and you're running late, but you open your Bible, and you read the Bible. You read it fast, but you do it, and then you check the task. And then Saturday afternoon around 3, you know there's church coming, and you need to get in the shower because you've been doing yard work all day, and so you're like, ugh, I guess it's time for church. And so you can go about and get ready for the task, and you can show up and you can sit here and just be here. Or you can look at your watch and say, oh, it's 3:00, time to get ready for church. I get to see my people, I get to sing my songs, I get to hear some scripture. It's going to be great. Where this older brother did the task out of obedience. He did the task out of the wrong reasons. When I kind of flip this story, the older brother always had the father's love. So did the younger, right? The younger chose to walk away. But the older brother got comparisoned. Well, he did this, and I've done this, and you treat him this way, and you treat me this way. Once we start comparing, almost every single parable we've read is Jesus reminding us, when we compare ourselves to others and not to the lens of Christ, we're going to fall short. When I was a first grade teacher, I had a tattle book. I think I've told y'all about it. I quickly decided that was a bad idea. But sometimes I would read the tattle book because I didn't want to hear the tattle, just put it in the tattle book. And I would just read it and see if there's something I needed to pay attention to, right? And I quickly realized when you have a tattle book, you think of things to tattle on, right? And so it became this tattletale book of destruction. Like, I just got it out of my classroom real quick. And I started doing the thing, if they would come to me and be like, well, Rachel did, or Philip did, I'd say, take the finger and point it to you. All I want to hear about is Kim. These scriptures are taking the finger, but it's pointing up. It's reminding us that when we are lost, we need to name it, claim it, and turn around towards the love of God. It is actually such a wonderful scripture to read during this Lenten season. I hope you're doing something to help you. I'm reading devotions, and I'm actually, I will say I grumbled sometimes. I'm doing a morning, noon, and night devotion. And I now look forward to these devotions. They center me, they calm me. But I remember one of the first days I opened it up, I was out back, and you can either read it yourself or have it read to you, and I like it being read to me. And it said 10 minutes, and I thought, and then I thought, no, this is not right. And now I look forward, I truly do, look forward to these 10 minutes, but it's taken some time to turn around and get a better rhythm. So let's talk about this dad, the father, who I believe is an instrument of what the heart of God looks like. He runs towards his rebellious son. And then if you notice too, the resentful son is outside of the house. Why are you having a party? What does he do? He goes out to that son too. My son, he says, everything I have is yours. Reminding him that this life, this love, this abundance is his. But we had to celebrate for what was lost has been found. Here's the bottom line. We've talked about this. We'll talk about this probably for the rest of my life. Grace is not fair. Grace is from God. God's compassion, God's love is nothing that can go on a task list. And when you compare God's grace to you and God's grace to you, it doesn't add up and it's not supposed to. God's grace is above, beyond all comprehension. We don't even understand. Grace isn't fair, it's generous. Joy in this story is not optional. It's necessary. Think about if the story went like this. Dad, I've come home. Oh, great. Go to work. Totally another option. Why have you come back here? You've squandered everything I did. Instead, God's grace is full of what? Joy. I got a flyer on my door today from another denomination, and it invited me to the remembrance of Jesus' death. And so I started looking up this denomination. It happened to be a Jehovah's Witness pamphlet. And it's celebrating, no. It's remembering the death of Jesus. And I really went down a rabbit hole this afternoon after I read it. But I couldn't even comprehend the week that we're about to enter. Next Sunday's Palm Sunday, right? Which means we're entering into Holy Week, which means we go in to some dark, sad places. But we don't stay there. We have joy and celebration in the death and resurrection of Christ. The fullness of our story comes with grace and joy. So I want to invite you this next week to really, really think about and focus about, who are you right now? Are you the rebellious son? Are you the son lost in task? Are you the gracious and loving father welcoming both home? And in that, I want you to hear this. Not every prodigal story looks like rebellion. Sometimes it looks like a drift. No big moment, no dramatic decisions, just kind of wandering a different way. Life gets busy, work picks up, schedules fills up, and slowly, without realizing it, faith becomes something that's in our back seat. It moves from the center to the edge. And one day you realize you haven't been home in a long time. Here's the good news. In this story, the son starts walking home, but the father is already running towards him. That is what we remember this week. That is what the Easter story tells us. He comes to meet us. The cross isn't just about forgiveness. It's his father running towards his children. All I have to say to that is thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we learn from your stories, let us be reminded that if we're lost, if it's a big deal lost, if it's a little bit lost, remind us to stop, notice, and turn around and face you. Your love and your grace will recenter us into what's right, recenter us into who we're called to be, so that we can understand your grace, know your grace, and feel your joy. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.